film it quarterly. Okay.
You'll do that? Okay, then I will point you to that. Liaison. That takes care of that policy. Item 11, persons to be heard. This is the opportunity for any member of the audience to speak on an item that is on the agenda. When the agenda item comes up, you will not have an opportunity to speak on it unless the assembly has specific questions regarding the item. We have one person, Frank Murkowski, who wishes to speak in. Would you come forward to the mic and state your name and address for the record, please?
Why don't we start with the address? Thank you for the opportunity to spend a few moments before you and Mayor and the new city manager. It's a little trip of nostalgia for me because my first elective office was here in Wrangell, the member of the school board. I won't go back and indicate in the minutes can't reflect when it was back. But for those of you who think any thoughts in your political career, why this might not be a bad place to start. On the other hand, where you end up is something else. I won't belabor that, but my interest as a retired, I won't say statesman, but of a certain political influence is the economy of the state of Alaska. And I'm also concerned about the economy of southeastern Alaska. I've lived in Alaska virtually all my life. I was probably 5 or 6 years old when I came up. I don't remember the exact date, but there are others who can occasionally remind me. I was in the banking business here in Wrangell and throughout Alaska, and then went on to the United States Senate for 22 years, and I had the privilege of being our governor. And as a consequence, I became convinced that the future of Alaska lies in the responsible development of our resources. Because we have a small, diverse population spread over, 33,000 miles of coastline and four time zones it used to be and so forth and so on. We can't consume what we produce because the distribution's all backwards and the ships come up full, and if we want to ship down from the north to the south, south to north, I won't have to belabor that point because you're quite familiar with it. But I am concerned with the direction of the state because we have funded our economy here on oil. Approximately 86-87% of the state's budget has come from oil. Now, it isn't that the oil's gone, but two things have happened. The price of oil has dropped down to the moderate 50s or thereabouts. And in addition to the price being dropped, our production has dropped. At one time, we were nearly 2 million barrels a day. Well, circumstances of that impact on our communities is being felt now, and I fear it's going to be felt much more drastic in the future. And the question is, what do we do about it, or what can we do about it? And I'd like to share with you a few observations that I made. I was associated with the airport effort here in Wrangell several years ago. We had seaplanes come in, Ellis Airlines, so forth and so on. Catalina flying boats came in. The service was there, but it wasn't what it is today. Heritage Harbor was basically put together through the momentum of the community and some of the leadership that the delegation provided, because the Corps of Engineers said, you cannot support an expansion of your harbor. Look at what you've got now. And the response to that was clear. If we had a harbor, we'd have more. And as a consequence, people like Leonard Campbell, Don House, many, many others, we were able to convince the Corps of Engineers to come down and take a second look, and a third look, and a fourth look. And I came down here on a couple of occasions. And after it was over and they finally agreed to take a look at it and do a reasonable survey, we got the funds to do it. But contrast that with an example here locally. You're going to Shoemaker Bay, and you've got 20 or 30 slips out there that have been vacant for the last couple of years. And you're waiting for a grant. I've been waiting for a couple of years. How much revenue have you lost as a consequence? What is the alternative, or is there any? You know, we used to build floats here in Alaska. Guys like Herman Ludvigsen here in Wrangell, many others. And I've had some conversations with some of the folks, and they said, well, we don't have the money. We have to wait for the grant. We're moving up on the grant. We're second in line. I'm not convinced you're going to get a grant. The reason for that is pretty simple. You see, the legislature is bound in, what, a $2 billion deficit shortfall. They're looking at the permanent fund. They reduced the permanent fund. They're into the reserve account. It's going to get tougher. And unlike other times where we've had kind of an alternative to look forward to, our alternative was the gas pipeline. And the gas pipeline is a long way from becoming a reality because it's no longer economic. The world price of gas is $3 to $4. We need $6 to $9 to amortize that pipeline, which would be the largest construction project ever undertaken in North America. So what are we going to look to? I think we have to look to our own ingenuity and our own opportunities in our backyard to see what we can do. Now, what is the potential revenue stream from putting those floats back into Shoemaker Bay, as an example? Well, you can figure it out easier than I can. You've got people on the staff to do it. How much revenue have you lost? You don't have the money, why don't you go out and borrow it? It's available. One response is, well, we have to pay interest on it. Well, as a banker, I can tell you, if you mortgage your income to pay your interest, you're doing the wrong thing. But if you mortgage your cash flow to increase your cash flow, you're doing something positive. And you're creating jobs here in the winter. You put in 20 or 30 floats. And how do you bring them in? You can bring them in with styrofoam, you can bring them in with pipe, you can even bring them in with logs. And create an activity here that will pay a return to the community. Because as I understand it, you have a waiting list and they could be rented out and you'd be creating something that is meaningful during the off season. I can remember here in Wrangell when we had two sawmills working two shifts. This was an active community. What we need here now is a payroll. We have segments of payroll that are important. The cannery is important. The fish processing is important, but it has a seasonal aspect. We don't have the year-round employment we did. We have a resource here, the timber, but policies that set in Washington have resulted in very little timber being harvested. And what the federal government created by a no-export policy, they've turned around and now allow export. And when you allow export, you don't have primary manufacturing. Primary manufacturers, what we had payroll, we had longshore payroll, a lot of those things. Now, we may have some relief under the new administration, but the year-round reality of a payroll is something that I think is very important. You know, one of the things that struck me is the water situation. Is it the amount of water, or is it the availability to generate water that meets the qualifications? Or is it both? And, you know, when we advertise that we're short of water, and you put a bulletin out that says that cruise ships can't get any water. Well, the large cruise ships, they have evaporators, they make their own water. The small guys, in reality, the water that's consumed, wasted over the side, just as a matter of living in a coastal community, whether you're washing down your ships or you're washing down the cannery or washing down this, you got to have water. But what are we doing about evaluating what it's going to take to solve the problem? Is it a problem where you're going to go out and get more water? You're going to run a pipeline from Warnowski under the inlet? Is it practical? Is it feasible? Could that be a utility line as opposed to a line? But what do you have in the offering to address the problem? You're saying conserve water. And then you're saying also, but you can't get any water in Wrangell. If you're looking for economic development here, you've got to have water. You've got to have a plan to address the problem you've got with the water. And again, whether it's the amount of water or whether it's the quality and the treatment of water that are the problem, then I think you have an obligation, and I appeal to the community for this, to come up with a solution. Now, what I would recommend you do is to go back to the manufacturers of your equipment that you put in several years ago that was supposed to meet a certain capacity, and bring those manufacturer representatives up here and take them up and say, okay, what do we have to do to get this maintenance problem, so to speak, evaluated and producing at what it was designed to produce? How much is it going to cost? Are there other alternatives? Because it's pretty hard to depend objectively on your own internal people who are taking care of something like that. They mean well. But the manufacturer's rep certified and his or her reputation is behind what they said, the volume of water you could put through and treat and evaluate what has to be done. So I would encourage you to evaluate the image that's going out that Wrangell doesn't have enough water. You want to come to Wrangell, start a business? You want to start a research? You've got to address a water problem. What's the city doing about it? And water is something you can go to the feds as opposed to the state and look for some relief. If you've got a plan that evaluates factual information based on people who have a reputation that are willing to put their reputation on the line behind their recommendation. So I would encourage you to try and change the image associated with something that most people take for granted, and that's water, and challenge the manufacturers who guaranteed that they would produce a process that would do a volume of water, which it used to do, and why can't it do it anymore, and what do you have to do to get it to meet that qualification that it was designed for, or what other alternative you have. But I would encourage you to get the facts and get it now and address the issue of just what you want to do. Are we, in other words, what's the cause here? What is the cause? Is the cause a shortage of water or a shortage of treatment capacity? And I think we all know what the answer is. It currently is a shortage of treatment capacity. And I talked a little bit about Shoemaker, so I won't repeat myself there. But I think that's a project that the community could take on and generate a reasonable return with a minimum of risk. And if you don't have the money, pardon. If you get the grant, you can always pay it back or use it for something else. The last thing I want to make a point of is a few years ago, there was a dream that there would be on the north end of Prince of Wales Island a terminal and a ferry system that addressed, if you will, the areas associated with Kaufman Cove, and Mitkoff Island and Wrangell, because as you know, when I've been over there and talked to some of the people, we've got 100 miles of paved road on Prince of Wales Island. It goes from Heidelberg to Craig to Klawock, and it goes clear up to the end of the island at Kaufman Cove. It's an extraordinarily beautiful, attractive destination for a portion of Americans that want to see America. And I can share with you, this is an article from one of the national RV, recreation vehicle, submission to their annual convention of where they go. And there are hundreds of thousands of Americans that are retired. Their dream is after they retire to get in an RV and see America. And that's an extraordinary place. But how do you get there from here? Well, you drive up to Prince Rupert, you take the ferry from Ketchikan to Hollis. Hollis, you drive up and down, go north, go to Kaufman Cove. You see a $3 million terminal built with federal funds and some state funds. Nothing's happening to it. It's been sitting there for the last how many years? You go over to Mitkoff, you got another terminal, $1 million terminal. Nothing happened. They built two ships. They built the Stikeen, and they built the Stikeen and the Prince of Wales. My wife, she christened the Stikeen, as a matter of fact, in in the state of Washington. And they were designed to, one, go back and forth between Ketchikan and Hollis, and the other was designed to work the northern end. And they tried it one summer, but there was no promotion to it. You got to promote something like that. And it may be seasonal, but, you know, I went over there with a few people after it started, and they had hopes and aspirations that after the logging, they could convert their homes to a bed and breakfast and stay there and live the kind of a life that they were looking forward to. And then it quit. Now, what's the answer to something like that? Well, you know, with the state's condition, you're not going to build a separate ferry for it. But you've got the ferry, which is either the Prince of Wales or the Stikine, makes one trip a day from Hollis to Ketchikan, sits in Ketchikan all day, and goes back to Hollis in the late afternoon. It can carry a couple hundred passengers and 20 cars or thereabouts. Okay, it's a godsend for Prince of Wales Island. But there's nothing else. We tried this little one here, and it was inadequate. But you have another opportunity. You got another state ferry that operates between Ketchikan and Metlakatla. And Metlakatla has extended its road system almost to Clover, or almost to Mount Point, just across from Annette Bay to Mount Point. Is it possible that you could persuade the state and the Inter-Island Ferry to come together and seasonally operate the Metlakatla vessel up on the northern end on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and let the Ketchikan Ferry, as it sits there all day long in Ketchikan, do the Metlakatla road? Now, I've had the discussion and the suggestion, well, you've got a union problem with the state. You've got to do what's right here in Alaska for a change, okay? And it would be an undertaking for the inland ferry system. But there's an obligation coming up from Uncle Sam on these terminals and the money, the taxpayers' money that went into them, and the fact that there's nothing going on. And you start promoting that, and it would be a godsend to Prince of Wales. It would be a godsend to Petersburg, as well as Kaufman Cove, as well as Wrangell. Because what a tourist could do, they could come up, get off the ferry in Ketchikan, go over to Hollis on the inland ferry, get off the ferry, go down to Heidenberg, Craigslowock, come up to Kaufman Cove. And in Kaufman Cove, they could make a choice. They'd go to Petersburg if they wanted to go north to Juneau and on across the Gulf, or up the Haines and catch the highway, or they could turn around if they want to go south from Wrangell and go down to Prince Rupert again. But it's something that would not require a new ship. So if the communities could come together at the Southeast Conference and say, hey, you know, let's see if we can cooperatively come together and create out of the opportunities that we have here, jobs. And not only that, but, you know, you got a new hotel that's trying to come in here, or it's the expansion of the old hotel. But it's a marginal risk, very frankly, because of the capacity of the hotel to expand and the inability to identify enough tourists. But these are the kind of opportunities, and I've got a few more for you, but I've taken too much time, to look at objectively what you can do within your community to create responsible activity that's in the best interest of the community. And I'm doing something for the state of Alaska and the governor. I do it granted, free. I don't charge them anything. And that's to try and get a railroad connection between the Canadian transcontinental system and the Alaska Railroad. And we're working on that. We've taken it to the Secretary of State of the United States, who is evaluating it with the Canadian government. But these are the kind of things that you have opportunities to do, and I would implore you to consider them. And I've come on a little more forcefully, but it's my nature, I guess. The last thing I want to say is, when I was governor, we had about 9 ferries, and every one of them was registered in Juneau. And I thought, that's a hell of a way to try and instill pride by the communities. We'll name a document city on the stern of each and every ferry. You know, we had the Malaspina, the Matanuska, and the Columbia. We also had the Taku. And on the stern of the Taku is Wrangell. Taku is laid up. The state's got it for sale. I think that's a mistake, but I won't go down that pipeline because it's the cheapest one to operate. Has the smallest crew, but you've been there and done that, so we we can understand how those things happen. But they're putting out two new ships. The first one's going to be out next year. And you should, and I strongly recommend you ask the state to document it and wrangle. Because it gives a community an association and a partnership with it. So anyway, I've been on the stump too long. If you've got any questions, I'd be happy to answer them. And I'd be happy to assist in any way. But the days of a handout from the state, ladies and gentlemen, in my opinion, are over. And you might as well try and figure out how to help yourself rather than have a handout. And it's going to be a hard and rude awakening, but it's here, and we just haven't felt it. So thanks for the opportunity, and I'll leave you with your business and wish you well.
Thank you very much for your comments. Not other persons to be heard.
No questions, that's good.
If you have further comments or something, it should be in a workshop. Otherwise, you can get into a situation where you're treading very close to a violation of Open Meetings Act by not having it previously noted.